Yeah, thank you. That moves, right. I thought we were going to go for a ride out in the parking lot there for a while. So I'm in the mood today to tell you about my life. And one of the great sins of my life that I don't think I've told too many people, I have mentioned this great sin to Corrine. She said, yeah, you mentioned about that once. One time, that thing, right? I want to talk about trespassing. So we grew up on a farm. And way out in the country when there's nobody around, and I mean nobody, on a country road, down in the corner. We lived literally on the corner. You say, well, how are you out in the country on a corner of anything? We lived on the corner of McHenry County and Lake County, where they came like this together. And when they come together like that, there's a road went around like that, just made a curve right there. And you could literally see where McHenry County ended and Lake County began. It's where we live. There's something else there, though. There was, even though you couldn't tell because there were cornfields all around it, a gravel pit. A gravel pit. So what? Well, I had a bicycle. And on this bicycle, I would go and wait until everybody was gone from the gravel pit. And then just go down in there with the bicycle. And ride down this, you know how gravel pits are made. There's a big road that goes down in there, right? And guess what's down there? Why would I go down there to look at the gravel? No, the heavy equipment. Oh, the bulldozers and the end loaders and the machines that crushed up the gravel. And little did they know, but they left all of them unlocked. And for years I did this. I went down there and climbed up in the end loaders and climbed up in the bulldozers and, you know, imagined I was driving them and never thought anything of it. Never considered anything of it. Did that because, you know what? This is something I want to do. I'm going to go down in there and do that. I know maybe somebody will catch me and holler at me, but nothing wrong with it. They're just being old fogies. And then one day I got there to the entrance there to go down the road on my bike, you know, and there was a chain, just a single chain, no big deal, just a chain across there, and the sign said, no trespassing. So I unhooked the chain, went on down there, never got caught. Probably a statute of limitations on this now. But anyway, I never got caught and went back and I put the chain back and then went home. And I don't think my mother and father ever knew I did any of this. Nobody at school, the people, the farms around, nobody ever knew I did any of this. But I was trespassing. Now, the concept of trespassing is a little different, I found out, than we think. Because in our heads, we have a tendency to say, okay, so if somebody's trespassing, that means they're in a place they shouldn't be. Actually, the concept of trespassing means you're going in to a place you shouldn't be. Legally, that's what that means. So when you are guilty of trespassing, you already went there. If you're in there, you already are guilty. It's too late. So here's the thought. This world, our life, is not the world of God's very good creation, as he calls it in Genesis. Very good. This isn't that world. But he made this planet. And he owns it. It's corrupted, but he owns it. See, well, he owns a corrupted creation. He's allowed that. We'll get into it. Humanity, all of us, trespass on God's kingdom because he allows us to be here and he owns this planet. It's temporarily under Satan, but he owns it. I'll show you this. He owns this planet. He owns it. We are, as human beings, you don't think of the gifts we have until you start to delineate them. We are designed and we are created to become welcome here. allowed to be here as inheritors of, owners of, and being in the kingdom. The kingdom of the creator of all of it. We are to learn to not steal, not corrupt, not trespass, we'll define that, on God's creation. We're not allowed to do that. We are to learn how not to do it. His kingdom, as originally designed and physically made for us, the family of God in training, to be trained in this good creation by very good intentions of human beings being made very good. We make a mistake, though. Our mistake in living is that we consider we are fine with God. We'll see this too. We're fine with God as we trespass on His creation. But here's how this works. His grace, His unmerited, undeserved, unearned allowing of us to be here does that so that we can really learn what eternity is, learn our real state. So, if you want to know what really is going on in eternity, there will be no trespassing, like the sign says. So let's take a look first at the definition of it, biblically and just in the English language. Trespass. To trespass. Here's what it means. It does not mean you're on the wrong place, in the wrong place, you don't have permission to be there. That's not what it means. Trespass is a deviation from a set up priority previously agreed on by the owner. So it's a deviation, in this case, from a set of priorities of uprightness and truth. It's a deviation, in this case, from God's set priorities of uprightness and truth. He set priorities of uprightness and truth. We ignore them. All right, look at it this way, and you'll start seeing language in the Bible you never noticed connects. Step off the path, and you've trespassed. The path you're being led on, you have permission to be on. Step off, and you're trespassing. It's still God's planet. It's still God's world. It's still God's place for us to exist on. But we don't follow His guidance. We trespass. Mankind doesn't follow His guidance. Period. They try. They don't know how. This is something God gives us the ability to do. So, what's really happening is God's kingdom, God's family. What's really happening? Not our bills, not our job, not our challenges, not our discouragements, not our fears. None of that is really happening. That's all distraction. What's really happening is God's kingdom. It's in the process of being built here on earth. Already exists in heaven. As extensions of God's being, He has some called to do that. Let's turn to Romans 6, please. Let's start there. Romans 6. Because this is our first thought, and that is that trespassing is a deviation from uprightness and truth. It's not being in sin. It's going to go into sin. It's not about being tempted. It's already, you fail the temptation. You're going into sin. It's the going in. That's the trespass. You're getting off the path now, not following the path, the narrow path, as Christ called it. It's a deviation from uprightness and truth. So Romans 6, let's go over to Romans 6 here. Start here. Here's the thing. I just had a discussion like that this morning by texting with someone about the idea that being under God's structure, under God's guidance, under God's oversight is becoming a slave to God. Is becoming a bondservant to God, like Paul talks about. And that's not a good thing, I was told. Well, I understand the reasoning there, that you give yourself up to another creature, another being, another person, and you don't need to do that because you're a created being who has rights. There's just a problem with that reasoning. And here's the problem with that reasoning. Romans 6, verse 16. Romans 6, 16. Do you, in verse 16 of Romans 6, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Well, I'm not a slave to somebody, really. Whether of sin leading to death, trespass, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, meaning all of mankind's trespassing, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You've been led down a path. Keep on it. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness, which is a good thing. Here's another way to put this. We are now cut off from the world lifeline of trespasser priorities. Huh? Well, trespassers have priorities. Fear, self-interest. Yes, we know we saw you open the Red Sea. Yes, we know we've been delivered from our slave masters. Of course we know. You are guiding us in the desert, but you brought us out here to kill us, so we want to go back. That's trespassing. On the path, God led them. Clearly led them. That's a trespass. That's going back. That's a deviation from uprightness and truth. It's not even true. You don't want to go back there. Now the question may occur to you, well, where are we now then? If we're not welcome on earth because we're being allowed to be here, and we're also not slaves of sin, well, where are we? Okay, short answer, we'll look at it, but short answer is we're in the desert. We haven't reached the kingdom, but we're in the desert. We're not in Egypt. We're not slaves or citizens of this world, in that sense. And we aren't in the kingdom yet either, not in the promised land yet. But you'll start to see an analogy that God got constantly through the Bible of land, leaving sin, which is land, going to a place of righteousness, which is land, and inheriting it. He uses this concept to show us we have to travel from where we are as a human being to where he is, to work with him. And that traveling is where we are right now. And we can trespass by stepping off of his guidance, stepping away from his path. Now, our design by God, our creator, is not to trespass on the owner's property outside of his directions. We can't do that. He owns everything, but we are to stay inside his guidance. And it's a narrow path. And if this hasn't been discussed lately, let's bring it again. And that is, God allows us, he calls it grace, but God allows us as human beings to be here. He owns all of this, and he allows us to be here and corrupt it in the process. Why would he do that? It's his perfect creation, and we're allowed to corrupt it. Right. So we can learn the contrast between us and him. If we never had this discussion with him, with ourselves and with each other, we could argue with him. A third of the angels did that. He's the owner of the property. Now, without turning there, the property was corrupted. This planet that was remade in the reconstruction and regeneration in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. As it was remade, it became corrupted. So the earth is corrupt. You say, well, yeah, but you know where you see that, don't turn there, you don't have to. Genesis 6, 11, and 12. Genesis 6, 11, and 12 says the earth became corrupt. The earth did. Not just the people, the earth itself became corrupt. And okay, well, then the God sent the flood and started over. And so the earth isn't corrupt anymore. No, actually it is. And without turning there either, because this is another lesson entirely, in Revelation 19:2, kind of the other end of the Bible, all the way to the other end of history as far as the Bible's concerned, Revelation 19:2 says, it says that the one, the great religious false entity who has corrupted the earth will be done away. So throughout all history, the earth has been corrupted, and it's primarily done by false belief. False belief, fear, self-interest, false religion. It's not true. It's not on the path God has us on, the reality. Remember Christ said, I am the way, the truth? How are you truth? It's because when you're with him, everything is clear. There's no distraction. There's no fear in love. Okay. So let's look at, let's get this sorting. Leviticus 25. Let's just go back to Leviticus 25. Not going to the holy days. We did that already. Leviticus 25, not 23. Let's sort this thing out. Because we, you know, we have our life. I'm alive, and I'm alive because God gives me life, and I'm righteous because I keep the law, and I'm doing the right things. And I see other people not doing the right things, but I'm right, okay? And, you know, I have my place in society because God allowed me to be here, and I know that I will be in the kingdom, okay? All right. You know, you got to wonder how many times Christ had to sigh at our greatness. Leviticus 25, real simple thought. Leviticus 25, verse 23. The land, 25, verse 23. The land, land, okay, shall not be sold permanently. The land shall not be sold permanently. Now, why would he not? For the land is mine. You can't sell land you don't own. The land is mine. And you are strangers and sojourners with me. Now, this strangers and sojourners thing, we're about to examine that in a way we have may not have seen it before. The reality is we don't belong here unless God says so. We're just being allowed to be here. And by the way, the Jubilee year, the 50th year of the nation of Israel, which as far as we know was never celebrated, is when all debts were forgiven. And that's what's being spoken of here in a way. So everything was, nobody was in debt anymore, and families would move back to the land that they originally were on, and their family would all go back to where they were supposed to. You know what the lesson of that is? We're only lent the place we live. God owns it. Oh, I own my life. Really, do you? Do you really? We are slaves to whom we obey. So now we start getting settled here. That the truth is, when you're on this way that God has given you of truth, to recognize that he is in charge, we have nothing to give him. We can't hurt him. We can't take from him. We can't give to him. There's nothing we can do for him. But he allows us to choose his path. And things start to open up. We start to understand we cannot control life. We cannot extend life. We did not create ourselves. We're not really in control of anything. We don't invent anything, design anything. Not really. From nothing, we certainly don't. So what, then? We get to choose. Whoever is our slave owner. Okay? That's an interesting way of putting it in the New Testament, but that's the way it's put. So we're strangers and sojourners with God. But are we strangers and sojourners to him? No, he's saying with him. With him. We're strangers and sojourners. So that means that the rest of society won't know us. Oh, that's what we're strangers and sojourners to. We don't fit. They think they belong. We know we're permitted to be here. Now let's go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. You say, well, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Why are we going back there? Well, we'll see. Because again, this analogy of going from a place, a physical place, following God in faith to another place, pictures going away from untruth, missing the mark, constantly transgressing, trespassing, to not being unrighteous, but going to where God is and with him. All right. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. Speaking of the great faithful of the Bible. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith. They died in faith. They were trusting and they died. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They knew, because they'd been on the path through that part of their life before they died, that God does what he says. They embraced the promises and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they are sojourners and strangers with God, but they're strangers and pilgrims where? On the earth. On the earth. The earth, the society around us, sees us as strangers. We don't fit. Okay, keep going. Verse 14. For those who say such things that they did, declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They're not worried about this life. Remember Matthew 6:33, don't worry. All right. And truly, if they had called to mind, in other words, allowed their mind to go back and drift, go back and start to get off the path, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. These are people who didn't even think about trespassing ever again. But now, verse 16. But now they desire, they yearn for, they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. All these places they come from, don't even want to think about anymore, not even going to go back and trespass to go back in the other way. They're on this road that he's leading them to, this way that is narrow, that few find. Okay, this making sense? And what ultimately happens is they don't want to go back, although if they'd have thought about it, they could have. And he's leading them to a city they see forward in their lives. Ephesians 2. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. We're still on what a trespass is, but we'll go through this pretty quick. Ephesians 2. I'm going to find it. I don't know. Is it in here? Yeah, it's in here. Maybe it's behind Ezra. Ephesians 2. All right, here we go. Yeah. There it is. All right. Now comes the thing that makes no sense. Atoll. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer sojourners and foreigners. He just told us we are. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So we're strangers and sojourners to the world. We are not strangers and sojourners to God. Okay? We don't fit because we see what God's doing with us and ultimately with all people to become heirs, therefore inheritors of the creation. Owners, if you will, of the property. And this is by and in and of the owner, the creator. And it's family. He's giving it to his family to choose to cease being self-willed and trespassing on the owner's corrupted, yes, but the owner's corrupted creation. And by the way, we have a tendency when we do this to think we own it all. This is my land. I've got problems because, you know, they want me to pay taxes on it. It's not our land. None of this is. This isn't our life. We are to be led away. Allow ourselves to be led away from deviating from the path. And this attitude of self-service. So, the first idea, trespassing is deviation from uprightness and truth. You say, well, how do we stay on the path? First of all, we have to understand God wants us on there. And he will lead us, and he will also allow us to trespass on his, the rest of his society. Satan's society. Okay, so now the second point is this. God enables and accepts our choice to desire life with him. He enables our ability to choose to have life with him. We wouldn't even know how to do that if it weren't for him enabling us, strengthening us through the dunamis, through the spirit. God has allowed mankind to have their way, and that's in love, to let them have their way. Because, you know, God, we have it from here. We are going to be like God, knowing good and evil. But we get to choose the Creator instead of the one who wants us dead. So let me ask you a question. Before you go any further, you can turn over to Hebrews 1, though. Let me ask you a question. Hebrews 1, let's go over there. So when they were in the desert around Egypt, in Egypt, around Cairo, or where were they, from Thebes? I don't know. I have to look at the structure of what we say in archaeology now, but let's say Cairo. So I looked it up. Who owns the desert called the Egyptian desert? Who owns it? Well, the Sahara, right? Who owns that? Now, Egypt does. Now, and by the way, it depends on what country the desert is around. That country owns it. So they own a bunch of sand. When our ancestors, Israel, were in the desert, were they citizens of Egypt? They had been for 400 years slaves, but Israel had fed, Egypt had fed them and clothed them and given them housing. Of course, they were slaves there, and they were, yes, in that sense, belonged to Israel, so citizens the way we think of. They were slaves. They didn't have the rights of citizens, but they were citizens that way. So were they in the desert? Were they citizens of Egypt? No. What were they citizens of? God's nation. Well, how can God do that? He can't just take the desert back from Egypt. He owns it. He made it. So they weren't in Egypt anymore, and they weren't under Egypt's power anymore, and they weren't citizens, if you will, of Egypt. But let's go back. That's trespassing. Because there's another nation they were part of. That nation was God's nation, Israel. Of which was directed, protected, guided, obviously, with a pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke and the water from the rock and the manna from heaven and their shoes not wearing out on their feet and a couple other things. And we want to go back. Okay. So God enabled that. Now, Hebrews 1, verse 1. Actually, the first chapter of Hebrews is about multiple things, but here it's about this. In verse 1 of Hebrews 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So that's how God spoke to mankind. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. Now he made the worlds, and now he's heir of the worlds, who being the brightness of God's, the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding the things, all things by the word of his power, Christ's word, when he had by himself purged our sins, he cleaned up our corruption, that is, if we will follow him on the path we're assigned, sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high. Now, he's saying, to go by God's straight, no distractions path. is not transgressions, is not trespassing. It's going straight to God's kingdom. The straight and the narrow path. Is any of this starting to sound familiar? God keeps giving us these analogies. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. Go back here. You know that as we study more of what God's expecting, what God's demanding, what God has designed you to do, there will be those moments, maybe you're having one now, where you go, I can't do that. I can't make that happen. And I agree with you, I can't either. What has to happen is we stay with God's priorities. We ask him to show us our true state like he did with Job. And understand who's in charge. Not us. At all. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. What do we get to do? This is what we get to do by gift of God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, see, I set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. There it is. See, he's talking about the analogy of moving through life based on his limits, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. In other words, God is expanding himself. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you go to possess. So it's all about you follow me and we're going somewhere that you haven't been. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, in other words, other priorities, things that are more important than him, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not, what? Prolong your days in the land which you cross over Jordan to go and possess. He keeps bringing that up. You're going to an actual place, he said. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you what may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them, if you don't trespass and deviate from the land, the path I've given you. There's a road to that path. That path is a road to this place. You have to stay on it, or you get lost, kind of like in math class. You miss a day. You know what the next day, I don't know, I can't catch up now. You can't get off the path. You've got to stay there with him, guided by him. So that's the second point. God allows us, in his grace, to choose, to desire life with him. But that means not going off on our own. And then this very, really odd thing is our third point. This is really odd. This is odd. We human beings can be thinking, actually believing in our minds that we are being of God, guided by God, on the path, and we're trespassing. We have deviated from the path. Oh, well, yeah, I know, we can fool ourselves, we can be deceived. All right, we need to see this. We can, here's the point. Go first to Mark 11. Just go back to Mark 11. We can expect God to honor our ideas. We can expect God to honor our life. We can expect that if others say, well, we're doing pretty well, if we say we're doing pretty well, that God honors that. I know you've never done that, but I have. I'm doing pretty well. Yeah. There are standards on that path, that straight, narrow path to the kingdom. Those standards don't change. And we step off saying, I could go over here. I can be afraid for a while. I can think about my other stuff than to be concerned about God on an ongoing basis. Think about the 35 years a young Jew lived and never credited himself for anything. He never had credit for anything. A righteous life, never sinning. Not once did he, the creator of all of us, say, did pretty well today. The works you see me do, he said, are of my Father. The words I speak are of my Father. 35 years, never took credit. Yeah, but I know how to handle it. No, we don't. So God allows us to see him. That's a wonderful gift, to be flattened like that. That's a really special thing to happen in our lives. It's going to happen to humanity. We can have it happen now. Mark 11, verse 17. Mark 11, 17. And then he taught, Mark 11, 17. Then he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. What's that got to do with the subject? I'll keep going. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. So you guys, you people, you leader of all these people, we're going to get you off this planet. We're going to destroy you. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. Okay, so. Now, we haven't gotten into this, and, you know, God willing, in the next months or so, we can get into something called remez. It's a Hebrew word, R-E-M-E-Z. This is something the church is teaching us now. But the New Testament is way more intelligent than we thought. When you were born into Israel, before you were 12, your job in school was to learn the five books of Moses. No, not read them. Learn them. Don't forget, they didn't have books. The only place you could go read those books was in the temple, so you were literate, you were taught how to read, and then you, yes, memorized them. Well, that's not possible. They did. What's even more amazing is, by the time you were 18, if you chose, you were to memorize the whole Bible. There was no New Testament, but you were to memorize the whole Bible. So why are you telling us that? Because there are things Christ is saying here that refer to what they already knew. What though? Okay, we get to go look at what he was referring to, and this is really strange about us. And fair warning, disclosure, once you know it, you're responsible. Isaiah 56, first, there's two verses, but Isaiah 56 is the first part. What is he saying when he's talking about this, my house, my Father's house is a house of prayer? Isaiah 56, you can find it for you. Okay, and then we're going to go down to verse, go back over here to, here we are. Isaiah 56, go down to verse, just single verse, Isaiah 56, verse 7. This is a remez. What he was saying refers to this verse that they had memorized, right? Isaiah 56, verse 7. I think. Oh, 56, verse 7. That was the wrong one. Even then, he says in Isaiah 56:7, even then I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house, meaning joyful means looking forward with a positive attitude, my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Two things about that. That's the first part of what he was referring to. My Father's house is a house of prayer. But notice it says for all nations. It doesn't say for Israel. It says for all nations. That means all people. Here's something in the Old Testament that says God is a God of everyone. You think that's not in the Old Testament? It sure is. Grace is in the Old Testament. Okay, what about the other part, though? You have made it a den of thieves. Okay, we see this. We're going to be responsible for what we're about to see. It's Jeremiah 7. This remez, this referral back to what they remembered, is referring to this. Jeremiah 7. And this can be done by God's people because it was done by God's people in Jeremiah 7. And this is what he was referring to in Mark 11. Jeremiah 7, verse 8. Let's start there. Jeremiah 7, verse 8. Behold, Jeremiah 7, 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. You're all concerned, he said to you people of Israel, you're all concerned about things that mean nothing. Nothing. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods, other priorities in your life, off of the path I've given you, whom you do not know, and, verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these things. Because we are in the temple, because we are God's people, we can do what we want. This is what we're responsible for. Being in the temple is not license to trespass God's way. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. What Christ was saying to those people is, you folks think you're okay because of where you are, but what you are is trespassing. Get out. That's what he did. That's what he told them, and they knew what he meant. We didn't. Until right now. When someone is shown, look at it this way. If you want to know a state of being, there is what you are, what God is. He is love. God is love. But God loves, so he is something and he does something. When someone is something, they are shown by what they do. By their fruits, you'll know them. How do they react to corruption, this trespassing thing, of stepping off the path? How do they react to that? Are they visionary and saying, I need repentance and guidance? Or are they self-justifying? Exodus 6. Let's go back to Exodus 6 a second. We're almost done. Exodus 6. Because there's a big party. Big party coming. Stuff happening. All right. Exodus 6, verse 6. Therefore, this is God obviously speaking through Moses. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, Exodus 6, 6. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I'll bring you out. Here we go. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. In other words, you're not going to be there anymore. I will rescue you from their bondage. You won't be their slaves. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment, being redeemed by his guidance, his correct, righteous guidance. And I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. And then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who, what? Brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And then more. And I will bring you into the land I swore to give you to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I'm the Lord. He's taking you from this world that cannot even recognize you anymore once they find out what you are, to his permanent, eternal place. So our first thought, our first point today, was that trespass means a deviation from uprightness and truth. That's all it means. It means a deviation from uprightness and truth. The moment I took that sign down that said no trespassing, I was already trespassing. I was deviating from accuracy, from truth, from reality. I can go in there. No, it's not okay. You can't go in there. I sure can. I'm me. Of course, you never did anything like that. Okay, and then the second thing. So trespassing is a deviation from uprightness and truth. The second thing is that God enables us and accepts our choice of life with him. He enables us to do that. Human beings can't do it. He enables us to do it. He gives us the ability to think. He gives us the wisdom to understand what he wants. He actually puts his spirit in us, the dynamic power of God, the actual essence of the Creator, to make us able to choose to be with him. And you know what? The world's going to hate you. So are we worried about what the world thinks? Because it's going to hate you. It hated Christ. It'll hate you. That is, if you're on the path, it'll hate you sooner or later. Yeah, most people will like you. By the way, think about this. They didn't hate Christ right away, did they? Most people didn't hate him. Remember how he kept saying, don't tell about this, don't tell, don't reveal? Why? Because when they find out what we really are, they will hate us. Now, the leaders knew who he was. They got that. But multitudes, 10,000 people showed up to hear him. They didn't dislike him. He was a cool guy. So the owner enables us, but then the next step is to keep going on that narrow path. And the third thing is that God enables us to see him. He doesn't just enable us to choose to be with him. He enables us to see him instead of us, instead of our way, instead of our impotent, vain, ridiculously incompetent way. He allows us to see the truth. Not our distorted method of how to live, but here's how I should do it. No, here's what I think. No. What does God want? So let's turn back to this is our last thought. Deuteronomy 31. By the way, and by next week you need to memorize all this. Deuteronomy. Imagine that. Deuteronomy 31. I couldn't memorize what they memorized because I can't speak Hebrew. Okay, there you go. Because I read from the wrong direction. Read from the wrong direction. All right, never mind. So we are to be like God is. He is. We are to be and act in God's life standards. Be on the path he's on. To become an heir, a co-owner, not a self-designated trespasser. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, 6. What we're talking about is a matter of life and death, and the world will hate you. All of our lives, we have wanted to be accepted and wanted to fit in and make our place in society, and guess what? No more. Enough. Deuteronomy 31, Be strong. This is why he's saying it. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Direct them, work with them, expand God's way. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to justify ourselves and say, well, I don't know, this is too hard. This is the eternal method of living. So choose to live with and of God's designed way, straight, narrow way, because the kingdom has no trespassing.